It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve this Friday morning across the great state of Michigan. Heading back to 1979 for this one. 44 years ago today, Donna Summer starting a three-week run at number one with Hot Stuff. Her second chart topper in the U.S. Might as well be talking about the weather, at least here in South Central Michigan today, where we'll break 90. It's too hot for June 2nd. Sorry. Cool off sometime soon. Hot Stuff from Donna Summer, number one of this day back in 1979. Scott Bertram in for Steve on this Friday. William Wagner with us, founder and president, Salt and Light Global and the Great Lakes Justice Center, greatlakesjc.org for more on them. William, thanks so much for joining us here on the program.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be with you today.
Appreciate it. I've got just a little tease of what we're talking about today. A Michigan Supreme Court hearing, which is today, if my information is correct, impacting freedom of speech and some big issues. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, today is the day that you can sign up, the last day you can sign up to testify at the hearing, which will be next Wednesday.
Okay.
So, and what the Supreme Court has done is they're proposing a rule that allows parties and the lawyers then to say to the judge, look, you're going to call us by whatever personal pronoun we want. And then the proposed rule compels judges in the state of Michigan to comply with that. So, for example, if a person is being prosecuted and charged as a child, raping a child or something, and he decides, well, I'm going to be a woman today, and then identifies as a woman to the court in these documents, the judge will be required to comply with this kind of woke agenda here. And so the bigger question is why is the Supreme Court proposing a rule, you know, that clearly violates, you know, the freedom of expression of judges, that clearly violates for many judges the free exercise of their religious conscience, the Constitution, both in Michigan and at the federal Constitution under the First Amendment has always, you know, prohibited government from compelling people from engaging in speech. And so today is the last day that citizens can sign up to do public comments. Many groups have already filed official written comments. Many religious liberty groups, judges have filed comments already. The Religious Liberty Law Section of the Michigan Bar has already filed comments. So a lot of the written comments are already filed, but the hearing is going to be next Wednesday, and today is the last day that somebody can call, you know, contact the court and sign up for that. So I would encourage people that care about the free exercise of religious conscience, that care about freedom of expression, to think about testifying.
Yes, lawyers for the Catholic Diocese of Lansing say the change could violate the judge's First Amendment rights for Catholic individuals or even other religious views as well. Is there any question would be, does the rule as proposed force the judges to use those pronouns? Could they simply call the defendants by their last names or do it in a different manner?
Well, the rule specifically mandates and does compel judges to use those pronouns. The rule would also, you know, allow, obviously people can still, you know, call somebody by their name, you know, or some other respectful, perhaps, way of addressing the person. But if they're using a pronoun, the rule compels and requires them to follow the kind of left-leaning agenda that's being pushed here. See, the interesting thing is the state bar rule in its current form is gender neutral. It doesn't spotlight gender. It treats everybody the same. You know, we're all created equally, and we're all the same, and everybody is entitled to be treated with dignity, and that's the way it ought to be. What the rule does, though, is change the proposed rule changes that and spotlights gender and authorizes you know, parties then to compel a judge to follow a certain political agenda. And so and that political agenda is problematic in some special ways if the judge has sincerely held religious conscience, you know, mm-hmm. against not telling the truth. If they feel like, wow, I'm lying if I am referring to somebody right. who is a biological male, and I'm not saying the truthful thing here. And so it's especially wrong when the government action unconstitutionally interferes with constitutionally protected liberty, like the free exercise of religious conscience or the freedom of expression.
If this goes through, William Wagner, what are potential punishments for violations of said policy?
Well, judges are always subject to complaints being filed against them in, you know, the Judicial Tenure Commission. You know, what I'm afraid is going to happen is when this passes, this is just the first domino. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see lawyers being required to follow all kinds of different, you know, politically correct rules. In California right now, I served as on the federal bench as a U.S. magistrate judge. I would not be able to serve as a state judge in California, you know, because I belong to a organization, a church, mm-hmm. That has some orthodox traditional Christian beliefs, you know, not anything out of the ordinary, just what most churches that come from an orthodox Christian perspective, you know, believe. But if you are part of, you know, a church or an organization that does that in California, you can't even serve in government. And one of the things we're seeing throughout this country is that government uses its power to license to force people to diminish the free exercise of their religious conscience or their freedom of expression, or lose their ability to maintain a license and maintain a livelihood. And that's a dangerous trend in this country, and it certainly shouldn't, in my view at least, be something that the highest court in a state should do to its judges, who are, you know, judges are supposed to be, you know, impassionate and resolve cases and controversies before them. They're not supposed to be advancing a political agenda either for the left or the right. And by a court taking a political position here, that's kind of fairly scary when you think about it. And it's my hope that the court, after it hears all the testimony from both sides, and both sides should be able to, you know, get all their views out in their most persuasive way, that the court does the right thing and says, you know what, you know, we're charged with upholding the Constitution, both in the state of Michigan and in the U.S. Constitution, and that Constitution provides limits on the exercise of our power too, including, you know, not using our power to compel speech or to compel somebody to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs.
William Wagner, founder, president, Salt and Light Global and the Great Lakes Justice Center. Find out more about them at the website, greatlakesjc.org. William, thanks so much for updating us and letting us know what's happening there, with a hearing coming up on Wednesday of next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks for what you're doing, Scott. Have a great day.
Thank you, you too. Here on the Steve Gruber Show, Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. More coming up next.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people. But anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Watch out, folks. There's a new city that never sleeps. It's called Obesity, USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day and night. Because in Obesity, USA, there are so many reasons to stay awake. Things like work, constant access to technology and media, job hunting, lack of exercise, bills, anxiety, insomnia, hypertension, diabetes, stress eating, fat shaming, and more work. It's no wonder 1 in 3 people in Obesity USA can't sleep. But who would want to when the fast food restaurants are open all night, too? Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visit OBECITY.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.